Call the meeting to order. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Ings?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Any public participation guests? Okay, on to the agenda. Additions or corrections? None? Can we approve this agenda? A motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Committee reports. Technology.
Yes. Recently, we had our February 2nd Professional Development Day. We tackled some of our items that you had seen in our strategic plan. Interactive whiteboards. We have different interactive whiteboards throughout the district. So more from the standpoint of how can we get students up at the interactive whiteboard and them more being the facilitators of the lesson as opposed to the teacher always being up there. So the teachers attended sessions on that based on grade level bands. And then also Google Classroom. They all received training, with the exception of the high school session that was attending the College Board. Utilizing Google Classroom, whether it's to differentiate their instruction, or just make assignments or give supplemental resources. Our strategic plan talks about using one learning management system across the board, K through 12, and Google's free. So teachers had instruction on that. So that was a great day. I did have each instructor, we had teachers of our own that presented and did an awesome job in all of those. And then I did do a survey afterward and got responses back from teachers. They were very pleased with the content, especially the ones that their peers had taught. And the high school, they kind of feel that they need a refresher on utilizing their equipment because if you remember when they moved in during December last year, they got a really quick instruction on how to use those and also using their amplification system. And I think then they kind of got busy with everything that was moving into the building, and so they'd like kind of some troubleshooting tips and little things there. So I'm going to follow up on that. We're going to be meeting, our tech advisory committee will be meeting again soon. We're going to be reviewing our acceptable use policies for students and staff and looking into any updates that we need to do there. Mr. Addison and I, we've been talking more and more about the webpage and looking at things that we can do to increase communication. And we've been talking with the company that currently hosts our website and looking into options that we can provide to provide information more easily without increasing any sort of cost. And we have some good ideas, but we wanted to meet back with our committee that helped with the redesign of the site about a year and a half ago. So we're looking into doing that and making some changes there, making things a little bit cleaner and easier to find if we can. Also currently, as you know, we purchase technology out of PI funds, and teachers are wanting more devices for their students to use. And when I met with the tech advisory committee and we talked about, if we do purchase more carts, how are we going to determine who gets those? How do they get distributed? And they decided that it should be a grant writing process and that teachers should have to not only follow and write that grant, but they should also commit to training. So it's not like you just say, I want this equipment, this is how I'm going to use it, and I'm not going to attend anything to learn how to. The deadline for that is February 23rd. They can apply as a teacher, they can apply as a department, they can apply as a grade level team, and they have to commit to at least 2 days of training in the summer. That NeoNet will be coming here to provide on site. So, what else? We started our hiring process for our work experience students. I mentioned several times how much We appreciate those two students we have right now, Hannah and Ben. However, they are graduating in May, and ideally, we have the new students being trained also by our existing students, and so that we're not also spending additional funds, we are going to start it out as an internship. So there's an application out for any eighth or ninth grader that's interested in participating in that program. They would intern until June with us, the two that are chosen from that process. And then upon Hannah and Ben graduating, these two students will be hired then as employees to kind of take their places. So we have that going on. And then I did have one other bit of information I wanted to share with you regarding E-Rate. And if you have any questions, you know, I can get you more information and just kind of give you an overview. But E-Rate is a nationally funded program for schools and libraries. It helps pay for internet, Wi-Fi, recently internal connections, so like our switches and our cabling and all of those things. It used to cover phones, like our phone service, our IP telephony, but also our phone lines as far as long distance service and those sorts of things. The program's changed a lot. I started in 07-08, and I've been filing for E-Rate since then. You file 3 years at a time. You kind of start filing for the next year, you're filing in the middle of the year, and you're wrapping up last year. So the funding has changed over the years. You used to be able to E-Rate web hosting, like our web page. We could E-Rate that. We used to be able to E-Rate our email hosting. We can't do that any longer. The phone support. So they've taken some of those things away, and what they're trying to do instead is bring more broadband, internet broadband, to schools everywhere, because it is nationally funded. We sit in a pretty good situation with our internet and Wi-Fi, but other schools don't. Now, the way that we can kind of take advantage of that benefit is they are providing more for those internet internal connections. So our access points, if we want to replace our access points, they'll help us fund that. And all of the funding is based on student count and free and reduced lunch counts, okay? So kind of have two pools of money. You have this category two internal connections for Wi-Fi and cabling and switches. And then you have this category one, which we've always done, is our internet access and our access points. With the category two and these internal connections, we are looking at possibly swapping out the APs, cleaning up some of our switches. If you've ever looked at switches that have cabling, they kind of get spaghetti after a while. Cleaning some of that up. We also have a rack at primary that's way up high in a corner, and it's dark and it's hard to see, and if you need to go troubleshoot something, it'd be far easier if it was down on the floor on a stand. So looking at doing that, when we do, we still have to pay about 40% of that cost. So, you know, E-Rate funds 60% of it. What they do is they calculate how much you can have. So just as an example, if we were looking at, say, primary elementary, they take like the number of students and then they give a certain dollar amount. Well, primary would be about $27,000 that they would offer us, but we'd still have to pay our 40% to utilize all that. So what I'm getting at is, yes, there's a big pool of money there, but you have to pay your portion of that in order to receive it. So what I did want to share with you, and I can give you a copy, is this sheet will show you all of the funding since 1998 that we've received. It will tell you, basically you want to look at total disbursed. It'll tell you about a remaining balance and a utilization percent, so that you might think that there's some money left over. But really what that is a lot of times when we do like our phone bills, we're estimating. So you apply for your high estimation, but you can only use what you actually, you can only get back what you actually use. So this will show you the amounts that we've received every year since 1998. As I mentioned, a lot of schools, many schools, everybody applies for this, schools and libraries. A lot of them contract this out so that they would not have someone in-house do it, do all the filing. They would have someone else do it, and then that company would get a cut of what is brought back in. We don't do that. We've never done that. There's very few tech coordinators or even business managers or treasurers that do it anymore in a district. One thing I'll point out is you'll see, like way back in 2007 when I started, the total disbursement was like $38,000. That amount is low because they weren't offering so many things to get reimbursed for. And then it starts to escalate. So we were able to E-rate more items. And so it kind of went up, and you'll see it goes up, you know, pretty high to 57,000. And then it starts dwindling back again because they start taking things away. We're not going to give you discounts for this or for that. And now, you know, you won't see as much unless we're able to take advantage of the E-rate discount for those internal connections that we're looking to do. Now, I can go through the process, and I can get quotes, and I can figure everything out. It would still come out of PI, anything that we do. But I can wait until maybe May or June and say, oh, we went through this whole process, but we decide we're not going to spend the money out of PI right now to do it. There's only 5 years that you can take advantage of it as well. So this year I felt like we really should file and apply just to see where we stand and look at what the quotes would come back in at for those internal connections, like I mentioned. So I just thought I'd kind of give you an overview. I know that's a lot of information, but if you had additional questions, I'm happy to answer or get more information. It's kind of a lengthy process.
Angie and I have spent a lot of time looking at the webpage this year, and one of her early challenges to the buildings was to provide more pictures. We wanted to see a little stronger circulation of pictures. So if you've been on the site, our principals and our buildings have done a great job of submitting pictures. So you're changing them every
daily.
Week or daily.
Daily.
So I appreciate the fact that our buildings listened and are sending. People love to see their kids on the website, and the buildings have worked with Angie well in doing that.
As far as broadband and Wi-Fi, are all of our buildings at an acceptable level right now?
Yes. This building, which was the old high school, and NES, that was the old middle school, those access points really should be replaced this year or next year because they were all purchased at the same time,
right.
And they're going to start failing, and people rely on that heavily every day, obviously, for their connections, for their laptops. So yes, we're fine, but absolutely, and if we don't do it this year, we better do it next year.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Angie.
Mm-hmm.
Instruction.
We met about 2 weeks ago. We had quite a few things to talk about. There are some new seals that can be applied for and given to graduates. The first one is the biliteracy seal, and I was unable to go to that training, but one of our foreign language teachers, Lily Pulaski, went and came back and reported to the team. Biliteracy, the seal of biliteracy means that students are performing very well at a high level in a foreign language, as well as scoring proficient on either their ELA 1 or 2 test, testing remediation free on an ACT and SAT, and then meeting a designated score on a foreign language exam. So she came back and talked about that. There is a charge for those particular tests. The EFC is looking to create a consortium of schools that will be interested in buying into the test, so we would get it at a discounted rate for those students who qualify. If they are going to apply for the seal of biliteracy, it's recommended that they do that within 15 months of graduation, so mid-junior. So what our teachers are going to have to do is really take a good, solid look at candidates for that test. There was a discussion about how would the test be paid for, would it be of the cost of the student, would it be the cost of the district, and then free and reduced students, the ESC would waive those particular fees. So it's not something that you're going to want to offer to every single foreign language student. You really want to look at the ones who are testing very, very well, conversationally, being able to have those more in-depth, not just the basic, hi, my name is, that type of thing. The next one would be the Ohio Means Jobs Readiness Seal. And there's not a whole lot of information. I mean, it is, but we're going to have Roger Wright, who is the county director for the compact, come and talk about that. So he will be at our next meeting on March 6th. And students have to do some things on their own. They have to secure mentors. Mentors have to write letters of recommendation. students have to meet or show proficiency on 15 particular skills within that. And the mentors then must validate it and write this letter as a recommendation. So Roger, should we come for our next meeting and kind of get us a clarification on that? We have some exciting news as far as high school courses. Our students all participated in the 9th grade, 10th grade, and some of our juniors in the PSAT back in October, and we got reports and scores, and we get what's called an AP potential report, which shows us of all of our students that tested, in addition to courses we have, courses that we don't currently offer that students would probably do very well in. And thank you to the AP potential, we were able to add 3 new AP courses to our high school. So we are adding AP Art History, and April Beback is going to be teaching that. We are going to offer AP Psychology. Sherry Drupenbrod is going to take that. We are able to offer AP Language and Composition. Steve Reinhart will be teaching that. And they are looking at doing an overhaul to the AP Government Politics. So Jason Bryan will have to make some changes. One of the nice things about having the AP Language and Composition is Mr. Reinhart already has an approved syllabus because he taught it in a prior district, so we don't have to send him for testing, which will save us a fair amount of money. AP Psychology will probably have to travel to Chicago. AP Art History is Minneapolis, and the Government Politics, and I don't remember exactly where, but it's in Pennsylvania, so I'm working on putting proposals together for that. But we also found out today that we are able to fund that through our Title IIA money. So there will be nothing will have to come out of general fund. We have grant money that can fund that. So that was kind of an exciting phone call that I was able to share with Mr. Addis today. We're very happy about that. We had our professional development day back on February 2nd, and Angie talked a little bit about some of the breakout sessions that we had. After we did our first professional development day in October, we put out a survey asking staff what they really would like for the next one. And overwhelmingly, it was technology. So within the breakout sessions, we had several different technology pieces. We had some gifted training going on for our elementary and our middle school teachers. We had College Board Mark Yoho came and spoke to all of our teachers in all four of our core departments, ELA, Math, Science, and Social Studies. Got them logged in. They all have an account with the College Board. There are several resources that they can utilize for the students. Went through, showed them how to access all of that, and has actually been following up, sending them emails with information. So that was exciting for us. We had public safety. Jake talked about, gave some potential examples. What would you do in this scenario? And then they finished out the day with some together time, which was highly requested after they did it the last time. So we created some guiding questions for them, gave them some sources, things to read, and kind of start their discussions going, and then many of them reported back with what they talked about. We recently received our fourth grade InView results, and that is our gifted screener, and we had several students do very well with that. So Trisha Ebner, who's our gifted consultant, she's not here, but we had 50 particular students in fourth grade who would qualify for a creative thinking identification, which is outside of a superior cognitive or a particular content area. So these children would qualify for that, and they would have to be assessed via checklist from the teachers. And we're going to do our grade 2 testing coming up in about 2 weeks. So they will be doing their testing as well. Gifted standards require that we do 2 screeners at various points during, you know, the school, so we do it in second grade and fourth grade. I think that really covers what we talked about. Did I forget anything?
I think that was it.
Okay. That's it for us, and our next meeting is March 6th.
Thank you, Amy. Operations.
We've met several times since the last time we had an opportunity to talk. We've kind of separated our group into like 3 areas, which is, you know, more facilities operations, transportation, and then safety. We don't have nearly as many specific things yet to talk about as the other two groups. We're still in the broad data collection stage of it. So we've really spent a lot of time in our meetings talking about different facilities projects that we would like to look at, from big things to little things. Starting to gather some data on costs for those, where would they fit in. I know we're talking about a 5-year strategic plan, but I'm even looking maybe even 5, 10, 15 years out. We got 3 different companies in to to possibly give us quotes on boilers. So when do they think we'll need new boilers? You know, the elementary boilers are starting to act like old boilers, you know. So we want to have a good 5, 10 year, 15 look at the PI. How are we going to spend some of that money? So we're in that stage of collecting data, getting numbers. We've started to do a little priority. I don't think we're ready yet as a committee to present, you know, our recommendation on priority of projects yet with numbers. But we probably had 10 or 15 different things on there. Like I'm looking at LED lighting, you know, lighting in this room. It's, you know, for us, and we could cut our costs in a quarter of consumption by looking at LED, but there's a lot of factors there. One is the cost of the LED. You know, it's tubes, but it's really the time. You know, we don't have a large maintenance department. They have more than enough ability to come in and do it. But I could buy tubes for this building relatively inexpensive in terms of a whole building full of lighting, but it might take our guys 3 years to do it. So, you know, it's planning that cost effectiveness of, we can do some projects like LED lighting that are going to help our operation costs, but how do we actually do that in a manner that's going to be efficient for the district? So we really want to put all of those on a basically a big list and get some sort of a relative schedule. You know, one thing I will say that the committee did commit to, we're highly looking at a secure entrance at primary. It's the only building left that does not have a secure entrance. I did have CT Taylor come in just as kind of a preliminary, let's shoot some ideas around. They came in with not a real expensive cost, but I'm going to go out and see if we can find some a more competitive price. But we think that's a project we could probably do this summer. You know, creates a secure entrance down there. Got Mr. Morris involved, so that's one project we're definitely looking at proceeding soon. As we're talking about facilities, I'm going to give a little update on the field house. Field house has come along well. Really the thing that's slowing down the field house from opening or going to be a little bit later is the HVAC unit. You know, we talked a lot as a board about it, and then when we finally made a decision, it went to CT Taylor, and then they had to kind of work out all their internal stuff with MKC and the engineers, and before they, I mean, it's painted in there, the lighting's done, they're on their own power. We're just kind of waiting for that HVAC unit for them to finish up. They should be doing basketball hoops here in the next couple weeks. So the hoops will be going in, batting cage will be going in, and then we're just waiting for that HVAC unit to condition the space properly so that Ohio Floors can come in and do the, you know, epoxy finish. So we're looking sometime in March, you know, hopefully that unit gets in as planned and, you know, near the end of February, and then we can proceed getting that installed and getting the flooring down. So that's that. The space is really turning out nice. I like how, you know, we didn't want to spend the extra money on the insulation, but I'm telling you, I was in there in the winter, and it's not going to take a whole lot to heat that building. It's amazing. It was amazingly warm in there, as well as the outside look just turned out. It looks like it belongs. It doesn't look like it was an afterthought. So it's one of those things that, you know, we were forced into a decision that ended up, I think, in the long run, going to be a good decision. So I'm hoping in the next month or so, if not next committee, the whole meeting, the one after that, we'll start to present some of the projects we're looking at, have some values for it, and kind of start to plan those big projects for the next few years. We are looking in the transportation area. Obviously, we're always looking at routing and becoming more efficient, but just to be blunt, our buses are old. We have an old fleet. We've done a great job of keeping them up, but we really need to look at how we're going to replace those. We kind of put the buying buses on hold as we purchased land, as we got through all these facilities changes and projects. And we kind of need to look at, I don't know what I'd call maybe an aggressive approach, but it's good on our committee. We've got a couple different people. I mean, Mr. Yule used to work in the area of trucking and purchasing vehicles like that. We have Jim Little on our committee that owns large vehicles, and they bring a little different perspective to us. So we're looking into not just how do we buy new buses up, do we look at leasing a few buses? Do we lease to own those buses? Do we just lease them when the warranty's up, they just send us new buses? So looking at all those types of things, because we spend a lot of operating money keeping those buses up. We spend a lot of PI money keeping those buses running. So it's no different than any other, you know, capital expenditure, that if you hold off on it, you don't have a consistent cycle, you eventually need to play catch up. And that's where we are. So in the transportation realm, we're looking at routing as a whole, deciding how many buses do we really need, and then coming up with a good game plan of how do we get our buses back to where they need to be so that we're not just operating and pouring money into the old buses. So I met with Cardinal, who we do a lot of bus purchases from, and they're Bluebird. And they were really interested in looking at some sort of different options with leasing. So I presented to the committee kind of a one option of doing it, and we were looking at trying to get off of the lease. Stephanie and I were working together. We came up with, you know, what we thought was a great plan, and I still think it's a pretty good plan, but the idea of do we really want to start buying buses, is that really where we want to put our money now with warranties and things like that? So we're really trying to look at the big picture. Once again, not saying, well, we need some buses, let's just start buying buses. It's looking at the whole plan, not for year one. I mean, I think we went out 20 years on a spreadsheet of trying to figure out how we get back there. So that's still kind of a work in progress for us of, once again, not trying to just look at the next couple of years of really how do we plan all of our PI projects, because technology's in that, facilities is in that, transportation's in that. It's not just one pot of money going to one place. So that's where I say we're definitely still in that data collection mode. I really like how the operations committee is functioning now. Before, it seemed like we just kind of got together every once in a while when we had an issue. Now we're being much more proactive. It's giving me, as the business manager, more direction. I can sit in my office and come up with a lot of ideas, but it's nice to have a group to bounce ideas off of, and then we'll be able to bring some of those recommendations to the board. I do want to say PD day was great. I wasn't involved in a lot of it except the hour in the middle of the day that we did, you know, some discussions of safety. And nobody likes to talk about safety. I didn't want to show scenarios up on there that are going to be some tragic situation. But I want to thank our teaching staff. They did a really good job, because my idea was to get them involved. I didn't want to go up there and talk for an hour. Nobody wanted to hear me talk for an hour. So, you know, I had Amy with the mic. She was going to go out and, you know, I show a scenario, and they come out. People would then, how would you handle it? And we had plenty of people volunteer. I was a little worried we were going to be sitting there twiddling our thumbs and nobody, you know. I didn't bring Snickers bars to throw out or anything like that. But everybody got really engaged. They really paid attention. And I think it was really a good usage of our time.
Thank you, sir. Finance.
Do you want me to talk, or are you talking?
Well, I get.
Don't fight.
All the other administrators are, so.
Well, not to surprise anybody, but we have a levy on the ballot coming up. That's been our discussion in finance the past couple meetings that we've had, looking at all areas that we have to make reductions in, areas that we can make reductions without hurting the classroom at all. That's our main focus. We were able to reduce in a few areas with the custodials, transportation secretary. We've discussed all of those. I won't go into any in depth with that. We've settled on a millage of 3.5 mils. If people don't understand that, that's what it is. That's where we're at. That should bring us a little over $1 million a year if it passes. Collections will not start until a year from now. Even if we pass it this year, we wouldn't get any collections until the February collections this time next year. So things, even passing a levy, are going to be very tight, and we appreciate everybody's understanding in that. We'll rest assured a lot better on May 8th when we know it's passed and we can make those decisions moving forward. But that's the biggest thing that we've been focusing on. And we continue to look at every area of finance that we can. The administrators are helping a lot. They're coming up with ideas and continue to bounce those off of people and see if there's a different way to do things, because we've always done it this way. Maybe there's a different way.
I think an important thing, too, is we've listened to our community because they feel like we need to reach out even more than we have. And I want to thank Stephanie. She worked really hard on our district website, along with Angie, in providing a wealth of information for any of our taxpayers to go on and see. And there's a list of 6, 7, maybe 8 items that are new to the website that spell out where we get our money, how we spend our money. There's some discussion on millage in there, and questions that we hear that our community says we just don't understand is there. And so our goal for any of them, rather than say that they don't know the answers, we've provided, and for them to dig a little bit and look. So I appreciate the work that she did, and I know Angie assisted on that as well, so I appreciate that. It's been a good outreach. And we've also utilized the all-call email system, and we've been able to send out a couple of emails. Last week, we had 2,900 of our families receive probably a way too comprehensive email on inside millage and some other explanations, with the thought that if you really have some questions on what that means, it's here for you in print. And we've had a couple of phone calls from people whose tax value or whose housing values went up, which meant increased taxes. With the explanation is that has nothing to do with the school levy. We have no control over that. All of us as taxpayers pay that established percentage. Every resident in the state of Ohio has nothing to do with a voted on levy. It's inside millage. It pays for police, fire, school. And when that is not enough for a school district, along with state funding, then a school district goes to a voted on levy, which is called outside millage. So I just wanted to share, I know we have a couple of media members here. The district is really trying to reach out to our taxpayers to let them know we are readily available and transparent with every single thing that happens in the district if you have any questions. And you know, we want to challenge them to ask questions and to discover answers because we have them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
no,
something.
Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Policy.
I can speak to it. We really haven't met. However, we've gone a couple policies that we've had, or one for sure that we've had the first reading, which we're voting on this afternoon or this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, we just typically wait until we have some things that are relevant to me. And
it just came.
So we'll have to schedule something. Policy is kind of the oddball committee group that we aren't as meeting is
lack excitement.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
The structure.
So it's the structure, but there's nothing to talk about.
We don't have to meet.
Right.
Yeah. I know one policy statement that we probably need to discuss as a team would be our school district on snow days. And I don't know, I know there's been a past practice, but I don't know what the board policy has been as to whether or not we're holding games or whether or not our teams can come in for practice. And we've worked this year, I know the principals have worked with the new superintendent and his feelings on those ideas, and we've made our way through. But we'll just have to gauge the interest of the board to see if there's something there. Whether or not we want to have the flexibility for the school buildings to make that self-determination based on the safety of the roads. You know, we've had snow days where it's sunny and 35 by noon. And rather than rescheduling, which can be a nightmare for our athletics and for our students and our families, we go ahead and have games or practices that night. So I know it's something that I've worked with all the principals on at some point. I'm sure it's almost done snowing for the year, so maybe it won't be irrelevant.
You had to say that, didn't you?
But we need to wrap that up possibly and say this is definitely what we want to do, how the board feels about it.
Yeah, I think beyond just the recommended policy changes, I think there's that, and we have some other policies that we need to discuss as well, potential.
Yeah.
Which would be good, so we probably should schedule a meeting amongst the rest of the meetings sometime in the next couple weeks.
Couple weeks, yeah.
Or so, so I will work with Stephanie and the group to get something out.
Okay, thank you. I will handle community engagement. We met on January 22nd. We just discussed a lot of ideas. Some of them include how might we expand the use of social media to engage more community members. We would like to continue to use the press and social media to let the public know what great things are going on in our buildings. I very much appreciate going on Facebook and every day seeing something new from the school. There's always something new going on in our buildings, but I know when I was a teacher, I was not my best salesperson. I was not the best person to go out there and say, look what we're doing, because I'm very humble. Stop it. So that said, I think it's important that we find ways of getting information to the public, because there are some amazing things going on in our schools every single day, and I would like to find other ways to get that out. I would like to reach new residents. I know a family moved into Norton, and they were never met by a welcome wagon. They were never met by anybody from the schools to say, hi, I'm Pat Santelli, I'm a board member, and I'd like to make sure that you know everything we can tell you about our schools. So we're looking at that as a possibility in the future. We're not exactly sure how to find out which houses have been recently sold, but if anybody has any ideas, I'll be here afterwards. We would like to set up a time for the community to access the new field house. I've spoken with Mr. Addis and Mr. Shaner about possibly scheduling our gym classes in the morning for the actual school building gyms, and allowing the community, particularly people my age, to maybe use the
youngsters,
maybe that's it, to use the facilities early in the morning. We're not sure exactly what that's going to look like, but that's something that we're going to look into. Offer more programs. We've already worked with Norton United on the opioid awareness, human trafficking, and just very recently, a student-run initiative on suicides. And I think getting more people into our buildings and educating the community on about different topics that are very important right now would be a great way to sell ourselves as a building or as a school district. Explain the benefits of attending public schools so that we can retain more Norton students. There was another article in the Beacon Journal today that another charter school has failed. And I think we're going to find more and more of those, and we're not failing. Financially, we're in trouble, but we're going to take care of that. Educationally, we're definitely not failing. We have so much to offer the kids here. I would like very much to make sure that the people in our community know how important public schools are. And we would like to invite students, citizens and educators to become committee members. Our next meeting is February 26th. If you are interested, I'd like for you to talk to me after the meeting. And my phone number, I believe, is on the school's website for anybody listening to this online. And again, with that, I'm done.
Can I mention a couple of things about
Certainly. Community
mm-hmm. Engagement? One of the great things that we had at the last meeting, first of all, Pat joined us and brought a new flavor to it, which is good. But he brought a number of productions. I don't know if I'm saying the right word. Pamphlets, yeah. Calendars, mm-hmm. Newsletters. And it allowed us to begin some really positive dialogue about what is that type of reach out to the Norton resident? What is it that the Norton resident would benefit from having? If we chose one item, would it be a 12-month calendar? Would it be a quarterly newsletter that the community member or parent would really appreciate? And what is the information that goes on there? So We narrowed probably 30 items that you brought to about four items that we really liked, knowing that in the past Norton has had a calendar. They have had newsletters, and maybe it's something that we've gotten away from the last few years. So we do have an interest in getting back to that as a way of connecting with our community and that community engagement approach. So I just appreciated that idea that he brought to the table that night. And I think that we're excited about, you know, what we can do with that.
And that said, or using that same idea, you know, how would we best disperse that information? Some people, if they get something in the mail, it automatically goes into a circular file beside their mailbox. So would some people be more willing to open something up on their computer and browse it? So we need to talk about that too. Okay.
Can I ask a question, Angie? You were talking about social media and people getting on that. I had somebody ask me the other day, I mean, we have the Norton Schools Facebook, but then some of the individual schools have their own Facebook or Twitter accounts. You know, there's a girls basketball Twitter and there's a boys basketball Twitter. And is there some place that we can, like, list them so that you know what you're following or what to look for?
I don't know.
What's that?
He said, can we put a live feed on the website?
We talked about doing that even for just our Norton Facebook page, embedding it on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something. But then we had kind of a newer idea for the webpage, and this is what I was talking about with the committee. A lot of newer sites kind of have these blocks of information. So maybe you have current events, you have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have highlights of something happening or news. You know, where they're real quick, like, doesn't matter what you need, it's all right there. So the tricky part is you probably don't want every building and everything all listed in one location. There might be a link for check out all of our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and they click it and go to something that lists them all, something like that.
So in discussion with the websites, we found we looked at a number of things. We love our website and its setup. There are things about it that are very appealing. But we also saw some other districts, and one of the boxes was a social media box. Mm-hmm. And you click into it, and it takes you to all of the social media outlets from the schools. And that was really nice. So you could do the Facebook and the Twitter. So when we're talking about tweaking, we're not talking about redoing, because that group worked really hard on that. But just some new things. Yeah. And if we want like a live feed, I'm sure, Ryan, you'd wear a body cam during the day, just you're walking around Norton High School.
Some things you don't want to see.
Okay, that said,
I do have a couple other things.
Yes, superintendent recommendations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Just to follow up, I want to thank Amy for the February 2nd Professional Development Day. You know, we do have a couple of teachers here. We have tried really hard to engage our teachers this year in the process of those professional development days. We had an hour of together time where we did some transitional work. We had eighth grade teachers working with our high school teachers, just that transitional year. And our teachers have spoken to us about some things that they wanted. And Amy and Angie and Tricia, they've accommodated the needs of our students. And I truly believe, can we improve these days? Always. And I think we'll always work to do that. But I look at the professional development days that we've had so far as really strong days educationally. So I'm proud of that. Just a quick follow-up about the AP and the fact that we're bringing three new courses. We're also making our parents realize if they get a 3 or above on that test, that's college credit for them. And they don't have to get in their car and drive to the University of Akron. They can get it with our great teachers in our beautiful building with their friends. And so that's one of the things of growing an AP program, is to do that. And just a reminder, you know, we talk a lot about finance and some of our financial needs. When you hear all of this discussion, you realize, as Pat just mentioned, we're doing some great things. There are some wonderful things that are happening in the district. And sometimes when that's right under your nose and right in front of you, you don't always realize it. You look at some of the other things that are occurring. And so I just want to make sure, you know, all of the administrators that are here and our teachers are here, and you hear all the things that are happening, that they realize that they're doing some really strong things. So just appreciate that. That's it. I'm off my soapbox.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else, folks?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weble?
Yes.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Thank you.